One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
The way people dress today, they look like animals and mummies instead of human beings. The way they put all that junk on their face and over their eyelids and all that false bunch of eyelashes, you can't tell whether they're alive or not. See? Come on. I tell you, we're living in, talk about something real. Well, brother, you haven't got anything. Little old girl's coming in and said, I just want something real. Well, I said, well, jerk that stuff off your face. That ain't real. Looks like women would know. They say, excuse me, I've got to go put my makeup on. Makeup? That's not real. Let God make you up, sister. Oh, I know you say, well, you're too old-fashioned. I know it. But I'm enjoying it. More than a lot of you with a bunch of your junk on you. Brother, what did that woman say about our little old girls today? Prettiest things I've ever seen. What did a man say? He said, brother, it'd be worth a trip down here just to see how pretty girls can be normally and naturally. Now, girls, I'm complimenting you. I'm bragging on your natural beauty. I mean, just the fact your little old eyes have cleared up and your faces are beautiful and your little old bodies are well-built and you're just sweet and fine and kind. That's the way Christians ought to be. You have no right to dissipate the only body God ever gave you. Yes, this is going to be a crazy, ruined, narcotic, drugged generation. It's that way now. All over the country, little girls at the age of 12 and 13. I'm just getting sick of people saying, well, I got stoned. I've heard that so much. That's the sickeningest thing. Stoned? Were you nut? You know what you mean? I went crazy. And I drove myself crazy. And you mothers and dads, you haven't got enough sense to keep your hat on about your kids. That's the thing that gets me. You come in, little old girl. Oh, she said, well, my daughter really was high when she came in. You mean she was low, honey? She was so low, she's about dead. And they say, well, I went on a high, and I got high, and I got stoned. And all this talk that they're talking today, it's the talk of a bunch of nuts, a bunch of stupid idiots, bunch of insane people. Mothers and dads, they don't know anything about it. They don't much care either, if you ask me. Most of our parents don't realize the peril of our young people. Now then, I want to come to something worth saying. I just tell you what's going on. Now, what ought to go on? Would you turn with me in this old book? And I'm glad I'm there now. Brother, I'm tired of all that bunch of shucks I've been wading around in. Bunch of grass. All right. Let's turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. There it is. That's the greatest declaration. We talk about the Declaration of Independence. Brother, this is it. This is where I declared my independence in Christ, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. That's 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. Turn with me to Galatians. Now, keep your place there, but I want you to go to Galatians a minute. And I'm going to make a statement while I'm on my way over there to the Galatian church. Paul really believed that everybody that didn't believe what he preached would go to hell. Everybody. You call him narrow-minded and bigoted and everything. But, I mean, he said if an angel were to fly into town, preaching anything but what I've preached, let the curse of God be on that angel. I'll read it to you, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now then, have you heard anything about perverts during your generation? Have you heard anything about mental perverts? Have you heard anything about sex perverts? Have you heard anything about twisted minds? Here's where it all comes from, right here. The worst pervert in America is the gospel pervert. When we pervert the gospel, there's no way for people to get saved. And Paul is talking about it. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you've heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals, in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated from me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Turn to the book of Romans, please. Romans chapter 1. He's talking about the gospel. Beginning at verse 14, I'm debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, Romans 1:14, both to the wise, to the unwise. So much is in me as I'm ready to preach. What are you going to preach? The gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let me give you an illustration again. I looked in the face of a young man sitting down at that unusual spot on the spoil bank of the Intercoastal Canal. That boy said, Brother Olaf, I've never been around a bunch like you got out on that farm. And he said, I don't feel at home around them. I thought he's fixing to criticize some of my workers, but he said they all act like they love each other and said they're all kind to each other. And they said they act too much like Christians for me to feel at home around them. I guess he must have been exposed to Christians sometime or other. At least he thought they ought to be acting about like our people act. Hours later, I saw him there with his Bible in his hand, as relaxed as a visiting evangelist. And he was saying amen while I brought the message. Now, brother, that made a difference, didn't it? Isn't there a verse somewhere in the Bible that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That explains why one is made happy by the gospel and the other is made miserable. It's all a question of whether you believe it, whether you receive it. If you receive it, you'll find joy, and you'd be happy in the middle of a desert. You could shout under a shade tree or down a lonely road if you knew the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So Paul is preaching to us the gospel. Now then, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul said, I tell you what made me what I am. He said, the first place I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time, from the least of the apostles, not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But here you are. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Turn to Titus, please. Let's see what makes people go to work. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God, that's Titus, just before you come to Philemon and Hebrews, right after Timothy, chapter 2, and that's especially for the new girls that may not be acquainted, and I want you to get acquainted with the Bible and memorize the books first of all. And I want our older girls to go over them with them.
The devil over there said, leave me alone. Jesus said, I'm not going to do it. And we're going to get after you. I'm going to make an assignment right now. Right now. And I want you to do it. I want everybody here. I want you to read the 119th Psalm and tell me and find out how many times the Bible is referred to in the 119th Psalm. You'll be amazed. If you want to find out what God thinks about his word, you read the 119th Psalm and you mark every verse and tell me out of the more than 150 verses. I mean, you just find out what God says about his wonderful word. Everyone here, you go over that and listen. When you get through reading that, you're going to say, whew, it's more important than I thought, by the Lord. And then, if you will, mark this verse in the 119th Psalm right now so you'll remember it. Go over to 119th Psalm, and this is a good assignment for all of our radio friends, every one of you, the 119th Psalm. And then I want you to put a psalm down and a verse so that you can have it right there before you, because it goes along with it. There's 176 verses. Now I want to know if he mentions the word, say, 50 times, 75 times, 100 times, or maybe 170 times. I just want you to tell me. I want you to find out for yourself. Brother, that's 176 verses. He might, I don't know, he might mention the word 174 times. But I'll let you find out here and see what he says about his wonderful word. Now then, put down there at the close of the 176th verse, I want you to put down Psalm 138 and verse 2 and see what God thinks about his word. Just see where he puts his word. See where he sets his word. Psalm 138 and verse 2. All right. Back now to the book of Titus. What does the grace of God do for us? Does it just give you something for nothing and you don't have to do anything? Now listen to me for a minute. God never charges to save you. It won't cost you. Now notice this. It costs God everything he had to send it. Jesus everything he had to bring it. The sinner nothing to accept it, but it'll cost the Christian everything to live it. I do not believe in a price for regeneration. That's already been paid. But I tell you what I do believe. I believe in the cost of discipleship. It'll cost you to be a disciple. He said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And old Brother Luke said, if you come and don't hate your mother and your daddy and your brother and your sister, your wife, yea, your own life also, you won't ever be my disciple. You can't be. And you know what he said one day? I think Brother Matthew said, if any man ever sets his hand to the plow, he said, now I'm going to plow. And that's back in the times they had them old handles, you know, and they just walked along with that old walking plow and said, now, if you put your hand to the handle on that old plow and you get to plowing along, and you'd say, wonder what's going on back down there, and you look around. He said, you're not fit for the kingdom. You're not the kind of Christian you ought to be. You know what happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? She turned into a pillar of salt. It's what the book said. It's what the Bible said. She looked back. Now, Lot got her out of Sodom, but he sure didn't get Sodom out of her. That's the reason I don't want to live in Sodom. Because it's hard to ever get out of Sodom. When you get into the world, it's hard to get out of the world. Second, if you ever become a Christian and you go back to the world, it's really hard to get back out of the world and get the stains off of you. Did you know that? After you've had the light, when a girl leaves here, no matter what kind of victory she might have gained, but after maybe months of victorious Christian living, but finally the world overcame her, the hardest thing on earth for her to do is to come back to the home. The devil said, well, that's the last place. You certainly don't want to go back there. You don't like the discipline of that home. I mean, you've tasted of freedom again. What he means is you've tasted of sin again, and you won't be able to keep on living like that if you go back to the home. That's it. Oh, listen. The Bible said, will you also go away? And Simon Peter said, to whom shall we go? Now let's look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Now this settles it far as I'm concerned. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. As Dr. Grace, isn't it? He not only performs the operation, he becomes our teacher. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, right here, while we're living here. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from what? A-double-L, all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Brother, I said a while ago, we've lost the authority. The preacher's lost his authority. The preacher needs to exercise great authority. Everything's happening today to knock the authority out of the preacher's hand and out of the daddy's hand. We need authority. We need a certain amount of authority, I believe, on the part of the law enforcement officer. The judge needs some authority today. We've lost the authority that makes a nation fear God and keep his commandments. Now then, turn to 1 Corinthians, and we'll be coming to the close of the message. I'm still talking and visiting with the same dear preacher. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Somebody came by one day and said, Brother Paul, I'd like to give you a report about a church you started over there in Corinth. He said, yes, I'd like to hear it. He said, it's in a mess. It's in terrible fix. He said, they've got about 5 divisions over there. Immoralities come up in the church such as ought never to be named among God's people. The old devil was really working on the church. He said, some of them following Paul, some of them Apollos and Cephas and Christ, and then some of them just following the devil. He said, Brother Paul, I wish you could get over there and help straighten that out. And Brother Paul said, I don't suppose I can't get a jet out of here. We don't have any fast trains, and I've got other churches to build. But he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to go to a little old place and sit down and write a letter. So he sat down and wrote a letter. Now, it'd be interesting to see what he said, wouldn't it? I imagine tears would drop on his writing tablet, on the old papyrus or bark of the tree, whatever he's writing on. I imagine tears would roll. He thought of the time when he prayed and fasted and the church was born. And he preached, and people got saved. And the devil came in like a bunch of vultures and began to undermine the tranquility of the church and take away the power. Sin came in, jealousy, envy, strife. Personalities entered in, and so he sat down. What's he going to tell him? You think he's going to say, now listen, I don't know exactly who it is that's following Paul, but I tell you, you better stay with that Paul bunch. No. He didn't even tell him that bunch is following Christ. I mean, he didn't side in with one bit of them. I want you to go to the second chapter. I'm going to tell you what he did. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, there it is, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul was sold on one person, that was Jesus. He said, I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You remember when they had their summit conference on Transfiguration Mount? And they looked up and saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus. And Simon Peter said, we better build some tabernacles. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. The Father spoke out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. Hear Him! The Bible said they fell on their face. When heaven spoke, God spoke. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. That's right. You remember when the deacon took off down on the desert road, Deacon Philip saw a man coming down, an Ethiopian eunuch, riding in a carriage, reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Been up to the convention center, up to religious headquarters. Somebody put a Bible or part of it in his hand. He's reading it, talking about being led as a lamb to slaughter, sheep four shears, dumps open not his mouth. And God said, Philip, go join thyself to him. He ran, Bible said he ran, got up in there and sat down. And he said, you understand what you're reading? He said, how could except some man guide me? The Bible said he began the same place and preached unto him, Jesus. How's our message? Brother, that's better than a lot of things that I've been having to say. Just Jesus. That's your only hope. Until you come to know him personally, you'll never have victory. I believe in a personal salvation because Jesus was a person, I'm a person, and when two persons get together, they have a personal experience. And you need to know that. Not something you get from your mother and daddy, not something you get from a Catholic or a Baptist church, it's something you get from the Lord Jesus Christ. You mothers and dads do well take that too. You're not saved by joining churches or getting baptized, you're saved by a personal experience known as the new birth with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And that's the one you need to see. Do you know him tonight? Have you ever trusted him with all of your heart? Would you open your heart's door to Jesus tonight? Bow your heads while we pray. Every head bowed. You're either saved or you're lost. I want us to pray a while. I want radio friends to join in with us. We don't have anywhere to go tonight from here except to heaven or home.
We're happy you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today entitled, What's Really Happening? To receive that message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3323. And it is important that we cover shipping and handling. We ask for a gift of at least $10. And we'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. Here's the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. During the month of September, we are offering a biography of Brother Roloff written by Marie Roloff and Bobby Glenn. The offer number is RO119, and the title of the book is Lester Roloff in Life and in Death. Also, a double CD called Singing from the Heart, offer number 2050. We've had many requests asking for the theme song of the Family Altar program, and that song is Stranger by the Sea, and you'll find that on this particular CD. When requesting this offer with Brother Roloff singing many songs on the double CD
and also the book on his life, ask for the September offer and include $25, which covers the CD and the book. To order by credit card, dial 1-800-772-7507 or write the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price, hoping you'll have a good day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee.